I preached a week over on River Bend Church. That's up in Poor Valley in the state of Virginia. And, you know, it just kept a building till it blowed up. Just blowed up. Now, there are people that don't understand. They never will. They'll never understand. I'll tell you what, boy, you just keep getting closer to God. There'll be a bush catch on fire directly, and you will have you one spell. I remember that old boy down there at Amber, Oklahoma, told his wife, said, if I have to buck like a horse to get it, I'll never get it. And you know, the first time I ever heard him testify, he bucked so much like a horse that he never did say nothing for ever so long. I didn't know what he was fixing to do. I never seen nothing like it. And I wondered, well, what makes him do like that? He told folks if he had to buck like a horse to worship God, he'd never worship God. Well, I'll tell you, he bucks like a horse. And he's worshiping God. Now, you know, there's lots of folks who make fun of the power of God and say they don't believe in miracles, but they haven't needed one yet. Wait till they need that little grandchild healed.
Yeah, brother.
Wait till they need that husband that can't work no more healed because he's down with something there's no cure for. They'll believe in miracles then.
Yes, sir.
And I've already had them asking me about them that said they didn't believe in them. They believe in them now. Well, it's great to be here. My mother passed away yesterday evening. Passed away yesterday evening. You know what the scripture said about that? Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And unto God the things that are God's. My mother passed away yesterday evening. I've been rendering my service to the Lord for 40 years. And I got word a couple of days before Mama went away that she is bad in Hobbs, New Mexico. And the Lord bid me stay here. I must go. I'd like to stay with you, be with you. Brother Moore, you think more of us than do your mother. I think more of the will of God. I love my mother. I've been a friend of my mother, and she knew it, and I know it. But we must go put her away. And I want to say it's been great to be here again. I just felt like I'd maybe get to stay to see the climax of the meeting. The Lord's Spirit is moving. You have been a little draggy this time. You knew it, didn't you? We all knew it, didn't we? But you can't just turn it on and off when you want to. You know, I understand that. But it's great to be here, whether the snow's on the ground or whether the sun is shining. Whether you're shouting and running the aisles or whether you're weeping, I'm your friend. You hear me? I don't blame any church anywhere where I've lifted my voice and dropped my words upon the eardrums of the human family with my success or failures. I never blame a board of trustees, a deacon board, a saint in the house, a man or woman nowhere. If I preach, I preach. If they say amen, thank the Lord, I thank you. But if they don't, I don't blame them, whether I do good or bad. That's LD.
Amen.
I refuse to blame my failures upon the failures of the people. It's good to be here. The Lord's dealing with me about a person or two in this building today. And one of them is this little woman sitting right over here. I saw you wipe your tears a while ago. The Lord knows that he'll help you. That's right. I seen you when we worshiped. I seen you wipe your tears. There's another young man here. I don't understand what the Lord's really wanting to do with you, son. You know I'm looking at you, don't you? Sure you do. You pray good. Seek God, son. There's a future for you for the Lord. You hear me? They talk back to you someday. I heard the Lord talking to me when you sang in the choir. I saw you. I said, oh, Lord. Years and years it's happened to me. It happened to me when that old boy that sang so deep here a while ago.
That's right.
There he comes up the wall over there. You know, I met him in a camp meeting 2 or 3 years ago, and the Lord spoke to me. I didn't know his name. I said, you're going down. I see you in a sick bed. I see you sick, but the Lord's going to help you. Thank you, brother. I said, the Lord's going to help you. And he did, didn't he? I didn't know you could sing. Sing more, Lord, have mercy. You're getting too old. You're clear up there to 40 or better, aren't you? And you're going to have to sing now. Sing now. Turn it on. Now's time. Turn it on. I've got the office bunch of friends. Well, that's not the way to speak. I need to go back to English teacher. Made F's and D minuses in English. But I've got the best bunch of friends. Preacher friends. We've had a jolt, haven't we, brother? I knew we was going to have it, though. I knew we was going to catch it. I knew we was going to have a trial. I knew that. And we had it, didn't we? But God brought us out, didn't he? Brought us on out. Hallelujah. I wish we had Heisel here to sing. When I was just a little child, I'd wander all alone. And when the evening shadows fell, I'd make my way back home. One day somebody said, I found a better way to go. I said, dear friend, I'm going home, and I'll take the road I know. Home is what we're talking about. You said it's homecoming, and that's what we'll talk a little while. I hope I don't talk too long, because I've got a long ways to go. But I'll tell you what, this still means more to me than the miles on road drive all night tonight if I have to. But I'll be there by the grace of God. But I'm glad for this great privilege to be here with Brother and Sister L.L. Collins and the church here. And I appreciate all the people, but we just have church for one reason. Oh, I like what the black folks sang down home. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise his name. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise his name. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise his name. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise his name. Oh, you don't have to sing with three or four words. Set the whole bush on fire. Set the whole woods on fire. Why, Jonah just had eight words and got 120,000 saved with him. He never could quote nothing else, but yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I went to Mexico to preach a while back. Lord told me to preach on, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Going everywhere else. Go to the ant. Consider her ways and be wise. Huh? You can't even hardly drown a bunch of them out of the ground. I'll tell you what I've done to them red ants at my house. I've killed them out at least 10 times. Wiped them out at least 10 times. I've wiped them out at least 10 times. You can't hardly wipe them out. They don't know what they can carry. They carry anything they can hook on to. And if they can't, they get somebody else to hook on to it with them. Amen. You burn them out, and they'll start another hole. You tell folks they're all gone, and there'll be one crawling across your foot before you get it said nearly if you stand there in my yard a while. And 4 nights straight, the Lord moved on me to preach on, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. I'll tell you what you can do. You can get a hold of God. We have church because of God, because of Jesus Christ, because of the Bible, because of the amazing saving grace of God. Hallelujah. Don't get mixed up. You'll never be saved by sending $100 to LD or OR. You'll never get saved by sending $100 to Florida. You'll never get saved by sending $100 to Africa. My friend, you're saved because and only because of the cruel death of the Son of God upon that rugged cross on the outskirts of Jerusalem. You're not healed because you send $1,000, $500, or $100. You're healed because of Jesus Christ. Now, you know I believe in that giving. You know that. I'm for that. I'm glad you're back in your church. But I want to say to you, sir, you may give to the Salvation Army, but you're not saved because you give to the Salvation Army. You may contribute to worthy causes, to orphans' homes or the Red Cross, and I'm proud you do, but you're not saved because you give to Jerry's Children. Don't you get yourself mixed up. I tell you what, I think they ought to separate a lot of things a long ways from where they've got them separated. I, I don't agree with hooking up money to healing or hooking up money to salvation. It's the grace of God. It's the marvelous gift of God. It's because of what God done. I was over in Fort Smith, Arkansas, preaching. A little woman weighed about 65 pounds. She said, "Brother Moore, I've quit doing anything in the world I thought there's any harm in." She said, "I don't wear no makeup. I don't dress in immodest apparel." Said, "I don't go to anything I hadn't ought to go to." Got down in the sick bed. Said, "I've quit everything. I don't do anything under heaven that's anything wrong with." But she said, "I'm unsaved. I want you to see the picture. It's not because of what you quit that saves you. Don't you get that mixed up. There's just one reason you're saved. That's because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The rose of Sharon, the bright in the morning star, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the healer, the blind man healer, the sea walker. You're always saved because of what he did." That's the reason that old boy said King Jesus was walking through the land. On his way he got weary with his disciples, the gospel band. Stopped at the well of Samaria. You ever sing it? "No man loved me like Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. No man loves me like Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Spoke to me when I was a boy. Said, 'Go on, I'll go with you. Preach what I tell you, and my spirit will be on you. If you fail to preach what I give you, I'll depart from you. All you'll have left is the people. And the people can't deliver you. And the people can't heal you. And the people can't save you.'" Have a notion to shout. Have a notion to shout. I have an ocean to do it. Only because of Jesus Christ. Only because of God and his love for the world. You can't do enough. You can't give enough. You can't go enough. Met somebody fussed about tithe paying. Fussed about, I believe in tithes, offerings, and alms myself. I believe a lot of things. God just spanked me good one day over my belief. Man come by me, "Lord," said, "give him $100. "Well, I ain't got a Kentucky man. I like you. That's the reason I'm looking at you and pointing at you. I didn't know you had that in you. I don't know how you got by me that easy. Lord, I like that. I wish I could be here tonight. I'd eat every bite of it. You hear me? I like them Kentucky people. I went in for Claude Ely at Cumberland. This woman got saved over 32 years ago in my meeting. I went in there and old Claude looked at me and I looked at him and said, 'We're wonderful glad that Brother Moore has come. Let us take and ask the Lord to come down and help us.'" That's just exactly what he said, and I believe it. You ain't no use of coming against it. Sounded, I could understand it. That's all God requires of us, ain't it? Understand it. I got it. I love them people over there. We had a great time over there. Well, maybe I'll preach here in a minute, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If you think the Church of Jesus Christ, the Church of God, which I'm an active member of it, don't think anybody ought to ever had any authority to put any church name down in Washington and charter any church and use a Bible church name. You'll have to listen or you won't understand a thing. Nobody should have ever been given the right in America to charter any church under a Bible church name and corner that name and nobody else to be able to use it. Somebody was slipping cogs up there when they let that happen.
That's right.
Every Christian under heaven has a right to use the name Church of Christ, Church of God, Church of the Firstborn written in heaven. Nobody should have been able to corner them names. Only God's born again people has a right to use them names. Somebody chartered them one and cornered that name, and all they got's a name. All right, the homecoming. Lord, I've traveled, children, for years and years. Drove well over a million miles 10 years ago in them old cars. Way more than a million. I guess 2 million now. I've got a little old car I bought here the other day. Put 27,000 on it already. 83 models. I've done got 27,000 on that car. But look, I've been off from home. And wherever you wander, wherever you roam, be happy, be healthy, and glad to come home. I've come home like you at the crack of dawn, at the setting of the sun, in the middle of the night. My home was a little board house over yonder in Oklahoma on top of the hill in the country. We drank well water, and the possums and the coons run out across the yard once in a while. Once in a while, a polecat. And you know what? It's home. I go in, sit down, it's home. But look, mother's home was my home when I was a boy, and daddy was there. And we enjoyed, my father was a man who wore overalls all his life, worked hard, common people. But you know, I loved to go to dad's house. Any other day or night, I didn't have to ask, was it welcome? I knew it was. Just went in and done what I wanted to. But you know, daddy died. And mama had to give the home up after a while. And I drove by for some time, something wrong. Home is not home, the song said, if mother's not there. Isn't grief a strange thing? Hurts the best of us. Somebody said, Brother Moore's a stout man. Well, I'm not so stout of what grief tears me up. You know what's happened to me every time death hit our family? That Holy Ghost that God sent from God wraps around me like a kidney belt around a muscle, a motorcycle rider. It's always happened like that. That's right. Always regretted it didn't preach my own daddy's funeral, honey. Always regretted it didn't preach my own daddy's funeral. It just wraps around me like a motorcycle belt, a kidney belt, they call it, around a motorcycle rider. It just gets me like that and holds me like that for days every time death comes at me. Death can't hardly do nothing with me yet. Home is not home if mother's not there. Angels have taken her out of her care. Empty her room and vacant her chair. Home is not home if mother's not there. Well, her home wasn't mine any longer. After a while, it was just a house. When they tore it down, didn't grieve too much over it because daddy and mother were gone. We were here at homecoming with each other, and we pass and repass and enjoy one another, say good things to encourage each other. But look, if this is all there is to it, we're ruined. If this place filled with hospitals and jailhouses and heartaches and grief and pain, if that's all there is, we're ruined. But that's not all. So a little while, a few words. 15th chapter of Luke. We've got great preachers here. We thank God for them. 15th chapter of Luke, strange verse. Strange setting for a homecoming. And here, we're talking about sinners and the friends of Christ. And he tells us about one man that had 100 sheep, and he lost one. And he went and found it. And he left the 99. Sometimes it's hard to leave them. I don't understand that sometimes. Really, we ought to be great Christians for the Lord and be willing to win sinners and not take up all the time of the pastor, the elders, or the deacons, or the trustees trying to see about us. We ought to be out there trying to find that lost sinner. And when he found it, in the fifth verse of Luke 15, he left it on his shoulder. Say, get up and walk it. You can get there yourself. No. He laid it on his shoulder. Now, this lady that come down here a while ago and witnessed, there's not a true preacher here, but what, sister, he fully understands you. And you are welcome amongst us, do you hear? And you are one of us because you prayed through. And you're as valuable to us as anybody. And you're as beautiful in the sight of God as the roses in the rose garden. That's the truth. All right, he found it and he laid it on his shoulders. Why, thank God when he found it, he is so glad he got it that he threw it over his shoulder. Well, it might have been able to walk back. And it might not have had a good balling out because it went away. But he is so glad he found it, he couldn't whoop it. So glad he found it. Amen. You take an old boy, live like a skunk, write hot checks on his daddy, steal his daddy's gasoline, and wreck his car. Get saved, and daddy meet him just crying and shouting, slapping him in the back, and said, the best thing in the world ever happened, son. Come on now, buy you a steak. Looked like I whooped him, but no, that's the way God does it too. And the sixth verse, when he cometh home. So we're going to talk a lot about home, because homecoming. And he called his friends and neighbors, said, come on, us have a time. Yeah. I don't understand folks that hears about somebody getting saved and it don't excite them. Right. You tell some folks, somebody got saved, and yeah, we had somebody saved down to ours too. Well, what is that? Say there's some souls saved. Yeah, we've been getting them saved all year. Just like finding apples under a tree, we've all been to find them. Yeah. Why, Lord, have mercy. If I hear, I don't know who this old boy is here. He acts like an okie, to be frank with you. He's got ways like an okie. But I'm rejoicing, son, because God saved you. You honorary thing, you. It's a wonder God ever knowed you was alive. Ain't that wonderful? It saved him. Saved him. It ought to make anybody rejoice. Everybody ought to want to get happy. They was where I lived, even them that wasn't saved, because the more boy got saved. Stop some of that funny business when he got saved. Called his friends when he got home and said, rejoice with me. If I had time, that's what I'd preach on, is rejoice with me. But it ain't going to talk about home. He had a home, and he got there, he called his friends. And they come in and had a big time. What's that shouting going on? What's the singing going on? His old boys went out and found the lost sheep. That one that he lost, he's found it and brought it in. And that's all it's all about. Singing and shouting. That's all it's all about. I notice here in the 11th verse, it tells us of a man that had two boys. And the younger boy thought he knew what he's doing. He asked for what belonged to him. I'm sure you've read it. But we need to read it and understand it until we get like that little jingle I used to go to work in the morning and hear. I didn't want to learn it, didn't care nothing about it, wish I never had learned it. I wasn't trying to learn it. But they just kept cramming it in my ear every morning that I went to work in between them that newscast. Oh, flamingo, oh, that orange juice, it is so very good. I learned it. I didn't want to learn it. Wasn't trying to learn it, but I did. I wasn't interested in walking a mile for a camel, but I know that and too, and walk a mile for a camel. How many do you know that you wish you didn't know? They just crammed it at you till you learned it. You get the Bible put on you enough. After a while, you get into it with the devil. You know what God's Bible said, and you bring it against him, and he can't handle it because you've got the answer. Amen. I hope I never do forget that and about that dream and Holy Ghost in them tongues. I hope I don't. Here's a boy, thought he knowed what he's doing, took his journey, went a long ways from home, didn't think anybody'd know him. My kinfolks took a vacation the other day, went from Kansas clear into Colorado. Well, that old boy said, I want to go where nobody know me. I've worked hard all year, rented him one of them little camper trailers, went out in the woods, said I'm going to camp out there by a creek and catch me some fish, and I want to go where I don't see nobody. Go way off up there in Colorado, them high mountain peaks, and they is a way away from civilization, looked like nearly. And here come a big old long car with two women to drive it, whipped up and pulled over where there's that. One of them started here. I said, hello, Ann. You think you're hid. You're going to run off from God and from Mama and from the Bible. You'll be like that old boy from Indiana, old Jed Smock, that let his hair grow out down his back and walk naked before the moon in Morocco and howled at the moon. Educated man with his doctor's degrees and able to teach. And thought he's away from everybody. Yes. And here come an Arab down there with God in his heart and witness to him. Way off out there where you don't think anybody know you, somebody in the black night, call your name. Got off out there and from everybody and told a wild fit and drank what he thought he wanted to at home, and it didn't have the effect he thought it'd have. Spent everything he had, and the famine rose up, and he began to be in want. You read about it, joined himself to a citizen of that country. You think joining will help you? Join if you want to. I'm not knocking Alcoholics Anonymous. I think they've done a great work. But I'm going to tell you, we got a lot down home. It's been dried out more than once. It's not off of it yet. And until they get saved and get Jesus Christ and the power of God in them, they'll never be off of it. I did not say that no one had ever quit that went to that. But I'll tell you one thing. Any substitute that's offered to you that doesn't have salvation in it, it tells you you can get off of evil you're doing and all the sins you're doing. I'm going to tell you what most time happens. Just swap one for another. There's no substitute for salvation. I'm telling you what, you got to get God in there to get out of it. Amen. All right. He finally woke up. We're not going to dwell on it, but he joined himself. And that's one of the first things folks do. And they think, go join something, will get you out of it a little. It'll just get you into it sometimes. Right. Amen. You going to get mad at me? No. Now, go ahead and have your fit while I'm here, because I come for war anyhow. I like a good fight. Bless my heart. We busted secret orders right square in the mouth 40 years ago in Oklahoma. We, some of the best preachers we had was high masons. Whip me out your substitute for God's religion, and I'll show you by the Bible ain't a thing in the world, that kind of stuff.
Ain't nothing to it. Nothing to it. All right. God bless you. Whew. Here we are. And it's joined us. That's the first thing folks do. Want to join something. Get under conviction. Go join something. Forget about joining something. Had a meeting over in Oklahoma. Asked a man, was he saved? A gray head. I loved him. He said, now, Brother Moore, I joined so-and-so. I'm not worried about joining. I want to know whether you prayed through or not. Whether you repented of your sins or not. Whether you've become acquainted with Jesus Christ or not. We don't have time to argue about your church book. We want to know whether you're saved or not. Talking about home here a little bit. I went back next night. I started for him again. Oh, now Brother Moore said, I liked him. He liked me. He said, now Brother Moore, Brother, I said, hold it. I want to know whether you got born again or not. My letter, Brother Moore, is over yonder on the door. Let her fly. I said, I'm not worried about your letter. Want to know whether you're saved. I come back the next year to hold a meeting. First man hit the floor is that old dad. Tell you one thing, Brother Moore, prayed through. I sought God that I saved. I never heard so much tomfoolery in all my life. Join this, join that, sign this and sign that. We've signed and joined and set it would-be peace tables with nations under the earth, on the face of the earth, and we're worse shaped than we've ever been. All the writing and signing and joining has not straightened us out. The only thing it will is what always has, and that's the old-time gospel and the delivering power of God and the saving grace of God. That's what makes men out of men. He finally got to eating. Hush the swine eat. And he said in the 17th verse, my, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And he decided to go home. He decided to go home. Well, his father wanted him to come home. And over there at home was what he needed. It was warm over there and cool over there. When it's hot, there's a good shade. There's a good place to rest. When it's cold, there's a good warm fire. Home to me is where it's cool and where it's warm. He decided to go home because he had friends there. He knew they were there. I want to have to suffer some shame to get back. I want to have to do some confessing to get back, but I want to go home. That's the reason Wayne Dillard lost his wife the other day, and he's 90-some years old, 5 or 6 in Arkansas now, and preached for I don't know how many years. Promised Mama one day on a cold December day that he'd meet her in the glory world when he was a young man. Made a drunkard, and Jesus finally saved him. That's the reason he sings, I want to go home when life here is o'er, to meet with my friends who've gone on before. Lord, lead me, I pray, that I may not roam. At the close of life's day, I want to go home. Go back to the mountains. Go back to Green River, they sang about. Anywhere you want to. Come to Oklahoma, where the Indians built it far on the Arkansas and called the town of Tulsa, Tulsia. Come on down to anywhere in there. Home won't be home when mother's gone and daddy's gone. The old place, the birds may sing in the tree while mother sleeps in the ground. There's a home, my friend, where there's no sorrow and no heartache. And this blessing Jesus gave us here is a picture of the Father's home. I want to go home when life here is o'er. You want to go to that big homecoming? My, we're glad to see you here. I'm going to hang around a little while with you. I'm going to head back to the warm land. Chief Ponker called it the Badland, Oklahoma. He said he'd go home. I'll go home because there's love there, because there's peace there, because there's joy there, there's contentment there, there's hope there. My father's there, my mother's there. I'll go back home. You want to go home bad enough, you'll go a foot back, a horseback, ride a bicycle, or thumb you ride. Ride an airplane or limousine, but you want to go home. Homecoming. It's going to be a big one after a while. He'll come from the east and the west and the north and the south. The Lord showed me we'd talk a new language in our new home that's never been spoken. You can't handle that. You can't do a thing with it. So I'll leave it alone. The Lord told me we'd talk a new language. It'd never been contaminated with bywords or anything else. Curse words. Don't have a curse word in it. No way you can swear in that new language. No having such stuff in it. That's why we'll talk when we get to glory world. And here they come from the east, the west, the north, and the south. High with the turbans around the head from the burning, blowing sand. And yonder they come from deep jungles of Africa. They come from everywhere. God knows how to run a meeting. Do you hear me? Whew, he knows how to handle a crowd. Without the aid of a PA, everybody can hear anything. Great God. Before we learn to make things that spit fire and belch smoke and go around the world at 25,000 miles an hour, God had interplanetary travel taking place. And he's God that made the world. That's the reason that old boy got excited, said the Hebrew God had got the world in his hand. Hebrew God had got the world in his hand. Hebrew God had got the world in his hand. He got everybody in the palm of his hand. He's got it. No doubt about it. You ain't a guy wore a hole in this thing. Have you looked out? Ain't a war or nothing hole in this world. It's just floating around out here. Nothing but space all the way around where it went. Strange to me. It's strange to me. Go up yonder and you fall right back down to it. Unless you get high enough and then you can't come down. I see. I understand it better. After a while. We'll go home. Dead in Christ shall rise, person. We which are alive and men should be caught up. And we get up so high, there ain't no coming back.
Right.
We couldn't fall back if we wanted to.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Isn't gravity a strange thing? Here he is back home. There's faith and hope and healing. There's comfort at home. At home. I know you want to eat, and you've heard a lot of good preaching already. And I'm going to talk a little while longer to you, and I'm going to get me back from once a kingdom and bury my mama. You want to go home? These people got places they call home here. It ain't nothing to it. Nothing but a fuss, nothing but a fight, nothing but trouble, nothing but drinking. You know, we got a boy saved on Oklahoma a while back, and he said don't want to go back down there. He is on beer and marijuana when I see him staggering by, a young man. He came to the side door and brought him in church there. And here's my boy's church, David. Got him to altar and prayed him through. He said, I don't want to go back down there. He said, I don't want to go back down there. Said they're drinking down there, smoking that pot down there. Said, I don't go down there. Well, don't go back down now, son. Wait, don't go back. Wait till that thing's over. Stay all night. Do something here. But there's a home. Why don't storm clouds gather? I'm going to tell you what they don't have there. I'm not going to be able to talk all about it. I never do justice to the subject. But oh, I hope someday I can preach on heaven. I tried to lay the foundations to it a while back. Started on the West Coast where I preached out there. And I run Bible scholars are at odds just a little about whether it's 1,200 miles square or 1,400. I'll take either one. But I dug the footing. Has 12 foundations. Any builders in the building? We got any builders in here? Raise your hand if you're a builder. That's all right. God love you. I love builders. I build stuff myself. But you know, I was going to run they said they have 12 foundations. And I started putting it to Gulf over on the West Coast against the ocean there, and I run it to the Gulf of Mexico. And then I run it over in, and I had to negotiate with the Prime Minister of Canada and drain one of the Great Lakes to set one corner over there. I didn't have enough room on America to set it, you see. And I run it across here, and then run it up north. And I had to blast the Sierra Nevada Ridge down and drain Lake Tahoe to try to connect that other side of the footing up down yonder. I borrowed all Lloyd's of London would let me have. I broke every loan company on the face of the earth. I hired men and worked them from the time they was 15 years old till they was 90. We had the office time you'd ever imagine trying to lay the footing for the city. That's all I was doing was working on the foundation. Now, if you've never been to the Rockies 12 to 14,000 feet high, you don't know what a job I had over there blasting them down. just shooting a level on the footing where I could. America's not big enough. Do you hear me talking to you now? I'm talking about home. America's not big enough to set that beautiful home called the New Jerusalem on. Well, our United States, I love it here, but it's not big enough to set God's city on. Get your map out and try it. You can't set it on it. 1,200 miles of leaked in the breath, that four-square city stands. Its well-set walls of jasper shine, not made with human hands. 100 miles of gates are wide, with abundant entrance there, with 50 miles of elbow room on either side the spire. When the gates swing wide on the other side, beyond the sunset sea, there'll be room to share that we enter there, room for you and room for me. For the gates are wide on the other side, flowers ever bloom on the right hand and on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room. I ain't gonna be able to finish this stand up. I got a bunch more, but I ain't gonna do it. A sinner saved by grace may leave a life of sin and shame, and proudly pass through yonder gate through faith in Jesus' name. Abundant will his entrance be into that city fair, with 50 miles of elbow room on either side the spire. When the gates swing wide on the other side, beyond the sunset sea, every room to share as we enter there, room for you and room for me. For the gates are wide on the other side, flowers ever bloom on the right hand and on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room. Keep standing just a minute, there'll be no more sea there. There'll be no more sorrow there. There'll be no more pain there. There'll be no more death there. There'll be no more night there. There'll be no more curse there. Woo! No more curse. Why don't you shout? Why don't you shout? Hallelujah. Ohio, let's go name the Lord.